super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
We are joined right now by Mike and Drew from the East Coast Horror Group. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, hey, Pete. Thanks. How are you?
Great, great. Why don't you tell my listeners what you guys are all about, what you're involved in, what you're doing, and all the other good stuff.
Go ahead, Drew. I'll let you take that one.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. Basically, we love horror movies, as probably most of the listeners do, have from a very young age. And we kind of follow conventions around and do interviews with celebrities and promoters and fans and vendors and just try to get them as much press as we can and try to have fun while we do it, you know, and basically watch movies. We have a couple of radio shows out now. We have a website. We have a Facebook page. Just try to get the news out there to people about the horror scene and, you know, let people discuss it on the forum boards that we have and just give horror fans a place and a source to get their information and, you know, let out their frustrations or their thoughts and opinions on the genre, the movies and conventions or music or whatever they want, man.
It's a cool idea. So basically you're documenting these things too. You're videotaping these.
Yeah. Last week we were actually in Charlotte at Mad Monster Party and got a couple great celebrity interviews, interviewed a lot of the fans, interviewed a lot of the vendors. So we just kind of like to do, here's what you missed kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's play some music in there, do some cool transitions. And, also, beforehand, if fans have questions or something they want to see, you know, we'll incorporate that too. And just trying to have fun with everything and trying to make friends and have a good time, really.
Was that a first-time show down there?
It was. It was the first time they put it on. Had a crazy guest list, man. And Sam Rucker Hauer, Brad Dourif. I mean, some huge names were there, and it was one of the most fun times I've ever had at a convention, I got to say. The venue was cool. I mean, the hotel was great. The staff was great.
Yeah, as we will be on the air Saturday night with this, I'll be at Wasteland probably at this point in time pissing in a bush out in front of the hotel.
Another awesome show. Yeah, right.
Yeah, can't wait. It's kind of hard to top Wasteland. It's just that simple, you know. There's right. Other shows. I've done the quote big shows, and they pale in comparison. It's like, you know, it's like a demented family reunion of like 2,000 people. But yeah, who else was down at the Mad Monster Party?
Holy shit! We had actually I'm sorry, the bartender from The Shining, you know,
was there. Joe Turkel.
Yeah, Joe
Turkel. That was great. Yeah, I met him a few years ago. He's great.
Yeah, very cool.
James Hong was there from, you know, about every movie that you've ever seen.
Right. Actually, yeah, I rode in the elevator with him by accident one time.
I picked him up at the airport.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, going back, oh, God, I don't know how long ago it was. Probably a good 10 years ago. He was one of the voices in Godzilla.
Oh, really?
Did he tell you that story?
Uh-uh.
No.
No, him and it might have been George Takei, but, you know, him and, I'm thinking, I might be wrong, but it was definitely him. They were Japanese voices in Godzilla. They dubbed it in.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's in fact that he has literally done everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, film, you know, industry.
How can you top, you know, being in a Godzilla film, you know?
You really can't.
Especially the first Godzilla film.
All right.
Oh, you guys have made me jealous. I need him on Night Watch. I've been trying to get him on Night Watch, and I have no contact info for the man because his agency doesn't really represent him. It just says so on the internet, but they don't really ever contact you back, so they certainly aren't representing the man.
Yeah, cool. I don't know how Mad Monster got them, or got him, I should say. He hasn't done a convention in quite some time, so I'm not sure what pulled him out to do this one.
He's always working, that's why. You know,
he actually had hot girls in belly dancer outfits push him around in a wheelchair and have everybody, you know, make way for Lopan through the whole convention. It was hilarious.
Really? Is he legitimately, is he legitimately in a wheelchair?
No, it was because Blade Runner.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What, oh, they had a Blade Runner reunion?
They had a Blade Runner reunion with, they had a panel with James Hong, Joe Turkle, and of course, Rucker Hauer. So that was pretty cool. And one of the greatest guests that I met was actually Angus Grimm from Phantasm. He's
he's a nice guy.
You know, he obviously played the tall man. Yeah. What an amazing guy that he
is. Todd, is this Skype messing up or is it us?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, there's a little Skype mess up there.
Yeah, it sounded like there's a little lag.
Keep trying. Hopefully it'll work.
Who else? Ace Frehley was there. I'm not a huge Kiss fan. I don't know about you guys, but that's a huge name. I know a lot of people went there to see him. There was a guy who drove out from, I think he said Nashville or something, just for the night to get his autograph, and he had just walked past us into like the VIP like celebrity lounge.
Oh, shit.
Who else was awesome was Nivek Ogre from Skinny Puppy and from Repo, the Genetic Opera. Just a really cool down to earth, the guy just to bullshit with too. It was very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Chris Sarandon was there. Crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they had like a little Fright Night reunion with Stephen Jeffries and Chris Sarandon, and then obviously Alex Vincent, Brad Dourif, and Chris Sarandon were all in Child's Play as well.
Right.
Alex Vincent was down there too.
Yeah, he was pretty cool too. Like I was smoked. He smoked cigarettes. I was outside. I saw him like six times bullshitting with him outside the weekend smoking.
Still smoking. God. He used to live. When I was in Jersey, he used to live in Jersey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was only up in around the Meadowlands. He was living.
But he gave us an interview. He was very cool. Just I think he's probably my age, maybe a little bit younger than me. Just to sit and bullshit with. It's crazy that some of these celebrities that you look up to for, you know what I mean, how many 20 years I've seen these people are just like, just bullshitting or riding the elevator with them. It's always cool to have them in the elevator or in the hotel, because then you have those kind of interactions that you can look back on, you know?
Oh, yeah. You get jaded because I've been doing this for so long and I don't like mark out that much anymore. For certain people, yeah, but...
For some reason... Bill Moseley always just intimidates the shit out of me, and he's such a nice dude.
Oh, Bill's great.
Like he went to Yale, you know what I mean? I'm just thinking, there's nothing I can say to this man he's going to find interesting. So I just fucking lock up when I see him every time and act like an idiot.
I think Bill's great. Yeah,
he's a lot of fun. I was like between him and Sid Haig up at Rockin' Chalk because I was helping Sid out, and I was like being the cheerleader because the fans would always walk up and go, "Well, when are you going to make another Devil's Rejects movie?" And Sid would go, "Bill, why aren't we going to make another Devil's Rejects movie?" And they both go in unison, "Because we're both fucking dead."
Yeah, I asked, actually, what about a prequel? That would be fucking awesome, I think, right? You could do a prequel to The House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, actually, you could do a sequel, because the only guy who lived was Michael Berryman, and he could be like this voodoo priestess who brings them all back from the dead.
Yeah, and did Tiny die? He kind of went into the house when it was on fire. It would never said that he was dead.
I would sort of say that that would have been the end of him. But you know, he's legitimately gone. He passed away, Matt.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the actor.
What was his name? Matt. Shit, I can't remember his name. That sucks. I can't remember his name. He was in a bunch of stuff.
And he was very, very nice guy, from what I hear.
Yeah. He was in a lot of pain, though, from whatever was going on with him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Too much. Too much. Well, it sounds like you guys have been busy. I mean, this is kind of your thing now. Has this turned into like a full-time gig for the East Coast Horror guys?
Holy shit, man. I never thought it would be what it was. You know, we just kind of set out at first just bullshitting around, you know, throwing around the idea like, hey, let's open a fan page on Facebook and just, you know, see what happens. Let's give some celebrities a call and see what bounces back. You know what I mean? And it's funny because we got VIP passes to Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, and they have a barbecue dinner there with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre people. Just as kind of like an added on thing, and they only sold like 20 tickets, and Mike got his, and like 2 seconds later, I went to get mine. They were sold out. I'm like, motherfuck. So, you know, I just sent him a, I sent him an email and say, listen, man, is there any way I can get a ticket? And it happened to be this one of the promoters, his name is Adolfo. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So we just kind of started bullshitting with him. And he's kind of started introducing us and gave us a shot and threw us up on From Dust Till Con, which is his website. And kind of, it's just from there, it's just been absolutely insane. And just the post-production from fucking filming all this shit and, you know, the editing from all the interviews that we do. I mean, shit takes forever. Like, I work, you know, 40, 50 hours a week anyway, and then just coming home and doing this. But this is the fun part, you know. I mean, this doesn't seem like work, so.
That makes
sense. How long you been doing it?
Right before Christmas, right after Thanksgiving, I think.
Okay, you're relatively new to it. Give it a few years, you'll be jaded like I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, well, my buddy, Todd gave my buddy a show, and he was like, I think I was on his show, and I'm really bad. He goes, well, I'm just so proud to be a member of the Jackalope family. I go, yeah, tell me that 6 months down the road.
Well, yeah, radio will do it to you. It'll tear you up a little.
I've been doing this show for 3 years.
It'll tear you up.
Yeah.
Then still I go, fun, though.
It is. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's fun, but other times, like, you know, I had to deal with a certain amount of fucking bullshit lately that just pissed me off to the point where I don't want to do anything anymore. But, you know, again, never say never. But
I know, it's like, I've been exposed to it just in the short amount of time that, you know, we've been. I try to stay out of it as much as I can, but it's almost like you have to know about the shit, and you have to understand what's going on whenever you do shit like this. And you kind of have, like, I want to close my eyes and ears and just say, fuck it. I just want to be a fan and see these people, but you can't do that.
But that's what I said. I said, you know, there's certain times I wish I was on the other side of the table.
Right.
You know, instead of being, you know, where I'm at, because sometimes it just gets to be, you know, and I'm like a minor cog in the whole scheme of things. But I do feel I can bring something to the table if people would only let me. It's just, you know, the whole... It's like, I'm almost like, you know, the Ginger Lynn syndrome. You know, she's like really good, but they're not going to let her go mainstream, you know?
Right.
And that's like the whole thing. Oh, he did this. Well, you know, I would have put out horror films if certain jerk-offs hadn't jacked up the fucking leases to $80,000 for 5 years. So how are you supposed to get near that?
Right. Yeah, you were telling us about that. Yeah,
the next best thing is, you know, what I'm doing. But even when I'm not doing anything lately, it's the business is horrible. So, you know, you get jaded after a while, but I try to keep, you know, all it takes is one fan to say, look, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing, this and that, and don't give it up. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll cave in again. But, you know, sometimes you just hit the, you know, well, you hit that, you know, you had me on your show,
yep.
And then you get death threats from Monster Mania. You know, you can say that here. I don't, you know, I didn't get it.
Yes, I mean, some asshole said something to Mike about watch who you fucking associate with or where you're at or something. Like, get the fuck out of here with that. You know what I mean? These keyboard warriors that want to start shit with people.
And then only go to that con, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I tried, like, even after that, I tried to run some damage control and email people and be like, hey, man, I was trying to be really tasteful.
We lost, you know, Mike. I think I got him. He's calling on my thing. Should I call him? Right. Should I pick it up, Todd, or what?
Yeah, hang on. Let me see where he's doing here. Yeah, if you can pick it up, try it, Pete. I don't know if it'll let you. I can try to get him back on here.
Hello.
Hey.
Yay.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened.
He's back.
What happened? We get everybody?
Yeah.
The system sucks.
It's that Skype for you.
Matthew McGrory was actually a Tiny's name in that.
Okay, yeah, Matthew McGrory, yeah. Did we pick up Mike, or is he in, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Why the hell did you hang up, Mike, you asshole?
Fuck you.
So, what were we talking about before we all clicked on? The whole thing that you guys had me on your show, and then you got death threats from Monster Mania, watch who you hang out with and shit and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we had, you know, we did an interview with Pete, and after that, we definitely got some backlash from some Monster Mania and Horror Hound internet, I guess you would call them goons, you know, watch who we hang out with, watch where we go, all that kind of bullshit. And, you know, there's a lot of groups that do a lot of the same things that we do, and they sort of take sides on the whole convention scene, but, you know, we're not really about that. You know, we're trying to cover everything, and if we're not welcome at a show, then fuck them. They don't get the free press. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bad. That's like the lowest common denominator too, because then you're reverting to a gang mentality, and as having been a victim of real, you know, violence from some shit that went down, mm-hmm. it's not a cool thing. And you would think that would chill people out, and it's like, okay, yeah, certain conventions have their certain rabid fans who go overboard in defending them. And it's like I said, I never told anybody, and Todd can even verify this, never to go to certain shows. I said, my issue is not with the show per se. My issue was with the show of the person running it, not of its fans and stuff like that. But, you know, some of these people take the whole personal offenses. Well, fuck him. He shouldn't be doing this. Well, you know something? I'm where I want to be, and I don't want to be on the East Coast. It's that simple. There's nothing right there for me anymore. If there was, maybe I would have stayed. But, you know, there's two big conventions battling it out, basically. And, yeah, you know, what the fuck? To me, it wasn't fun anymore. This is fun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the politics aside, you know, it's just it really hurts the fans, you know, because you have not only shows but now managers of celebrities that are saying, well, if you do this show, you can't fucking do this show. Who does that hurt? That hurts the celebrity, and it hurts the fans because you don't get to see them. The celebrity doesn't get their money. And let's face it, you know, some of these celebrities that we go see aren't getting fucking million-dollar deals like they're Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? They use this money to live and shit, you know, a lot like the vendors. So again, that's just kind of the bullshit that we deal with every day. And, you know, conventions are a big part of what we do. And, you know, we're affiliated with some good ones. We feel Days of the Dead and From Dusk Till Con and Mad Monster Party we're affiliated with. So, you know, Horror Realm here in Pittsburgh. But, you know, we're trying to branch out and do other things besides just, you know, talk on Facebook.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole social media thing is all wonderful, but it's like get out and meet. You know, that was another big thing I had. I said, you know, all these people want to be these internet quarterbacks and stuff, and say this show sucks and that show sucks because supposedly that was being said down at Horror Hound last weekend about Wasteland, and the guy being told that said, "Have you ever been there?" And the guy goes, "No." He goes, "How can you say it sucked?" They're just taking it for fucking, you know, oh, because they don't like this. Nobody, as far as I know, at Wasteland has ever said anything bad about fucking Horror Hound. You know? And I'm not a good source. There's no reason to say anything bad about Horror Hound because it's apples and oranges. It's two different shows.
Yeah, if you want an autograph show with a lot of current people, go there. If you want a convention where you can hang out with friends, go to Wasteland.
Yeah.
I mean Wasteland's the one.
Yeah. I think Wasteland's, I can. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, bro.
Go ahead. I'm stoned and it's free form, so what the fuck?
Nice. Yeah, Wasteland's, like I was just going to say, Wasteland's the one show that I think people on both sides are still like, it's, you know what I mean? I like to go there. It's not little kids running around, you know what I mean? It's fucking, it's a good show. And people just, everyone loves each other there.
Yeah, I can sort of pop the October cherry, if you will, because this will air Saturday night, and I've already spoken about this. For October, confirmed is, I think, Fred Olen Ray and Michelle Bauer.
Nice.
And James Hampton from Longest Yard and F Troop.
Very cool.
I think somebody else. Oh, Bert I. Gordon, one of the last of the, you know, the 50s guys.
Right.
He's going to be there. And also Sharon Mitchell. First time ever. So that's very, very cool. That's, I know there's more than that. It'll probably be posted up on the website probably end of next week. But that's the exclusive. You heard it here first.
Maniac was awesome. That'll be gone. That'll be great.
Yeah. I'm almost excited about Sharon Mitchell because, you know, if we sit down, we do one of the panels like I did with Ginger Lynn, that's going to be like off the fucking hook. That's another thing. How many shows you go to where they actually have, you know, the stuff that we do?
You know, some of the shows are kind of taking up that mantle and doing the panels and doing things like that and trying to get away from just the autograph shows. And it's nice to see, you know, because, you know, there's other, you know, Wasteland has their niche of what they like to do as far as the time frame of films. And it's nice to see that the, I guess, modern horror is starting to take up that mantle that Wasteland has set down.
Yeah, my thing is I like to get, you know, what's left of the older guys, like Gary Kent, for example. I had him on my show a couple times because they got such great fucking stories.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and they lived that era and worked in an era that was so pivotal to what we were doing, what we're doing today. So, I love getting. I'm trying to get a thing. I want to call it the original Sons of Anarchy. I want to get Gary, hopefully John Bud Cardos, and maybe another guy on all at the same time. All the guys that did the biker films, and try to do a show about that.
That would be a great show.
But see, that's what sucks about a lot of these conventions is that they overlook the guys like, you know, Ted Michaels is still spry and still happy about doing shit. You know, the Corpse Grinders, and you don't see him in a lot of shows because people, you know, they don't call him. I think he'd be more than happy to do shows. Same with Gary. I mean, read Gary's book, Shadows and Light. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, unfortunately, some of these promoters got to look at who's going to be most profitable. And unfortunately, I guess for some of these guys, they're not going to be profitable, so they're not going to call them, which is quite sad because one guy at Mad Monster Party who didn't have a huge line was Rico Browning from, he played, you know, the Gill Man.
Yeah, right.
He didn't have a huge line, really. And it was kind of like, you know, he was a pivotal, you know, character in this whole horror thing, you know.
Absolutely.
And not a lot of people were paying attention to him.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing was he never really embraced that whole thing. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was sort of like he swept it under the rug because he had done a lot of other stuff. And it was only when, you know... I don't know if you remember Ben Chapman, because me and him, we used to hang out a lot. He used to come in from Hawaii. He was the other creature. One was the water creature, one was the land creature. I forget which was which.
Right.
Two different things. I think Rico was the water creature. Ben was the land creature. Mm-hmm. And Ben was doing this way before Rico, and they weren't even on really speaking terms, I think. And then they mended fences, and Ben says, you know, you really ought to get in on this because, you know, you'd make some money and the fans really love it. And I think reluctantly he got into it. Yeah. But he got sick at one of the conventions, at the Monster Mania convention. He was very sick. Hmm. They had to rush him out. So he's up there in age. And yeah, a lot of the younger people wouldn't a lot of people don't remember the old black and white horror stuff, which sucks.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get, like, I have a horror collection that I bought many years ago. It was like 50 classic horror films on DVD, and it was, you know, a whopping like $10. Yeah. And I think if you're going to be in any sort of capacity in the horror field, you know, doing what we do, what you do, conventions, that should be mandated that you have to watch that, because that without that, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, and it goes deeper than that because, you know, this stuff started back in the 30s. And, you know, in the 40s, of course, you know, you had World War II breaking out. You had your Universal stuff. That was sort of like, you know, a little bit more, you know, the upbeat. They weren't, you know, like the original Frankenstein and Dracula were out and out horror films where some of the stuff, like the House of Frankenstein, House of Dracula was more like, you know, a slugfest to keep people up. But there was some dark stuff there in the 40s too, you know, the Monogram stuff and the PRC stuff. So, you know, it all segued. And then when you hit the 50s, it was like, okay, what are we catering to? A lot of different things. So, there was a ton of great, great, you know, low-budget stuff out there, and the black and white just served to enhance it because it hit a lot of the flaws. So,
right,
you know, it's just a shame it's overlooked now by, you know, these, you know, younger people.
Yeah, it is, and that's what we try to do. We try to bring all aspects of horror to everyone, you know, and some people embrace it and some people don't. It's, you know, like the Grindhouse that stuff that we were talking about, you know, with the Blu-ray and all that kind of stuff, you know, it starts to lose that, I don't know, that je ne sais quoi of it.
Yeah, pick up a movie called Beast from Haunted Cave and tell me that isn't still scary today.
Right.
What it is. That's public domain, too.
There's so many great films that are public domain these days.
Somebody had a print on eBay, but when I saw what was coming from France and the shipping was like $63, I'm like, and the print was acceptable. I'm like, nah. I really, really like to have it just for shits and giggles, but nah.
Right.
God only knows. There's just a lot of lost stuff, too. I mean, we have a film called The Flesh Eaters. Look how long it took for that to resurface intact. Years.
Right.
But like we say, that was the, you know, the forebearer of what, you know, what is now.
Yeah. And
some stuff to me today works, some stuff doesn't. I mean, I actually watched the Halloween 2 of the Rob Zombie one, and I'm like, you know, this was fucking overkill. It really was.
Yeah, the second one was definitely, I'm going to definitely say it was definitely a more art house flick than what Carpenter ever had imagined.
I think it was just
it.
Like catering to the chick, man. I was like, why the hell is his dead mom in this movie? What is this now, Jason Voorhees? And she's running around on a white horse like Lady Godiva. The whole damn thing
was
too
strange.
Much.
Yeah, like he had to give his wife a fucking role or something.
That's
like
the part that I hated, because it did feel like it was like, well, she's my wife and she gets a part, even if it doesn't fit the movie at all and doesn't fit anything else. And even though she's got a bigger part than Michael Myers, I was like, what the hell is going on? I hated that second one so much that to this day, I haven't watched it again. I was so pissed at it. I was so infuriated at it. And the first one was bad enough, but the second one just took me to a place where I just felt like the acting was terrible and everyone was a white trash trucker or hillbilly, and it just sucked. Haddonfield was no longer us down, you know, living in our homes. It was now like this Arkansonian weirdness, I thought.
I got one thing to say. Pussy does that to a guy.
Well, my thing, look, I think the guy's an incredible artist. I think Rob Zombie's an incredible artist. I think the problem is he's trying to fit Halloween into his universe instead of fitting himself into the Halloween universe. And I would like to have seen what he did. One of the things I loved about the original Halloween was the fact that Michael Myers, no one knew why this normal kid clicked. Was he possessed by a devil? Was he just a nut? What happened to him to make him freak out? I also liked the fact that it was a suburban neighborhood where there was no crime, and this was, it brought it home. That's why it was the night he came home. It wasn't, I mean, hell, what's the difference between Michael Myers and half the other people that were in that movie that were killing each other, you know?
Should have never remade it. That was the whole fucking problem.
Well, true. But you know someone's going to do it. They're going to remake everything.
Any of you guys see Basement Jack?
Oh, that was good.
Uh-uh. Basement Jack?
You didn't see Basement Jack?
No, I've never seen it.
Holy fuck, dude. You got to pick up Basement Jack.
I liked it.
That's like Halloween on crystal meth.
God. Basement Jack.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, Lynn Lowry's in it. She's the mother from hell, and, you know, like, known Tiffany Shepis for years, and she's in it. A few other people pop up here and there. And it's great.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, it was like one of those cool ones.
Like feel good movie of 2 years ago.
Speaking of remakes, did you hear they announced today that it's officially been greenlighted the remake of Carrie?
Yeah. God.
Oh, you know, so
didn't they? I thought they did one already.
They did.
Well, this is they did, but this is another.
Yeah. Fuck.
Another retelling.
I love that reaction. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, it was that whole thing when it was a Gayle Ann Hurd wants to do a modern remake of Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, she already
Get
did.
Get the fuck out of here.
They already did it. It's out. It's called like Welcome to the Jungle or whatever.
No, they want to do one. They want to do one. They claim it's going to be better than that. I watched that piece of shit.
That was awful.
It's lucky I got a shrink wrap machine because that got returned the next fucking day. Yeah. What's wrong with this movie, sir? Well, I really bought it by accident. I was looking for something else.
Anything else, actually.
Fucking piece of shit.
I mean, the original.
That's always been my argument about these guys. I want to make a Grindhouse movie. No, you're not. You don't understand. It was a fucking time period. That's what it was. You're not going to recreate that. You know? You think the Corpse Grinders would... No, actually, see, there's one you could remake, the Corpse Grinders. Remember that whole deal with the tainted cat food and shit? From China?
Yep.
A few years ago? Okay. There you go. Ground up dissidents in the cat food. Gives them a taste for human flesh. It's pertinent and newsworthy.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't they do that instead? Oh, let's remake Friday the 13th again. Fuck, what the hell?
You know, I didn't mind the Friday remake, the newest one. The first 20 minutes of that movie were fucking brutal, I thought. But then it kind of tapered off after that.
He became like almost James Bond. You know, he's supposed to be a fucking mutant retard, yet he wired a whole fucking house with electricity.
And he set traps. Who knew he could do that?
Yeah, and a guy's like weighs like what, 240, and he's jumping off fucking roofs and landing without breaking his ankles. My name's Bond, Jason Bond.
Holy shit!
Yeah, even the Texas Chainsaw remakes were fucking abysmal too.
Hopefully this, I have faith in this new one. Maybe. Maybe.
This is one reuniting all the Leatherfaces.
I know that Bill Moseley is going to be in it for sure in the new one.
We just interviewed him, and it's supposed to take place like right after the original stopped. So after the hitchhiker got run over and she got away, it's going to take place right after that.
Supposedly, Gunner's in this.
Really?
Yeah, they went back and they got a lot of people to be involved in it from the history of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So could be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to bring back Bill Johnson. He's rather on the big side now.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I'm not a small man myself, but you know, I don't have to run around with a chainsaw.
Would it be Battle of the Leatherfaces or something? God.
I don't know. They might, they're supposed to be a young Leatherface, so it might be like the stages of his life or something. I don't know.
God, my three Leatherfaces.
Yeah, you know.
The music in the background. Da, 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 da.
Gunnar Hansen is definitely in the movie, it says here on IMDb. So.
Huh.
As archive footage, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, they got to take stuff from the original.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in archive footage?
That's what it says. Gunnar Hansen as Leatherface, in parentheses, archive footage.
Oh, they're taking fucking him from the original. Oh, great. They're not even going to pay him.
Nope. I think, though, they won't have to pay him, because I heard a fucked up story about that, too, whenever they produced it. Some mafia guys got a hold of it, and they never got a fucking penny out of it or something.
Oh, I know. You know who it was? The same guys who did Deep Throat and the Devil and Miss Jones, the Perugino.
Yeah.
The funny part was, I think the old man got whacked, and when I was still working for some of these DVD guys, supposedly he tried to muscle in on current stuff, and they told him, look, it doesn't work that way anymore. Get the fuck out of here. Old mob guys die hard. Yeah, they did that. They ripped off Andy Milligan's The Ghastly Ones, the two Andy Warhol films. No, you know what got him in trouble, though, was they weren't paying these guys, but they were doing it for a tax dodge because they were making so much money on the porn. But it backfired because these films actually made money. So, you know, it just that's what got them in trouble. And then they never paid anybody. It was a whole bunch of horror stories about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was like, it's Branston Pictures. Look for everything under Branston Pictures, and that's the whole deal.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wonderful people.
It's a wonderful business, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when Jerry Damiano wanted to get paid, they told him he'd break his knees. Yeah. Thrilling bunch. It's the whole history thing. You know, I could go on for hours about that shit. You know, it's crazy stuff over there. I have, like, this whole thing we do with Vanessa Del Rey in New York that I can't even show anybody because I got a gag order on it because she doesn't want to sell it or something, but... Yeah, she was telling stories about she sued the mob and she won. She fell in show world because it was a fountain leaking or something like that. And the guy cornered her in the elevator. And you know, she goes, "Well, remember his name?" And I said, "Yeah." They called him RB or something. And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "He reached in his pocket trying to pay me off." And she goes, "I wouldn't do it." She goes, "I went to court and I got $8,000. I sued the mob and I won." I'm like, "Holy shit."
Nice.
Now we have that on tape.
Jesus.
Yeah.
She's lucky.
Yeah. You guys got to shove off. I see it's like 9:40. You said you had something
else. Yeah, if we could, if I could just plug one thing, you know, sure. Like I said, a lot of people do the same shit that we do with horror conventions and horror news, but Drew and I, we're really trying to get into the charity scene, you know, to show that we don't just like gore and, you know, films of that nature. So we're teaming up with Scares the Care. It's an organization. Go to scaresthecare.org. It's a really good organization. They pick three families to help out a burn victim, a family that's dealing with breast cancer, and also another family of the child is very ill and they don't have the means to help him get better. So actually going to cover an event next weekend, same weekend as Wasteland. It's out in Gettysburg. It's the Scares the Care Celebrity Benefit Dinner and Dance. Kane Hodder and Serena Vincent will be there. All the proceeds go to Scares the Care. They're a government-recognized organization for a charity. And then Drew and I, and also with Horror Realm, Rich and Sandy, we're putting on a Day of the Dead charity screening here in Pittsburgh, PA at the Hollywood Theater. It's a you know, your type of theater, Pete, you know, the one screen, old school type. We're actually at $10 to get in. We're going to have the stars of the film, Laurie Cardill, John Amplis, Mark Tierneau, Anton DeLeo, and then also Mike Gornick, the director of photography for most of the Romero flicks, are going to be there. So you don't have to go to Horror Hound to see a Day of the Dead charity or Day of the Dead reunion. You can come right to Pittsburgh. They're all going to be there. We're working on a few other celebrity guests from the film as well. All this information can be found at eastcoasthorrorgroup.com. Again, if you can't make it, feel free to donate at scaresthecare.org. No donation is too small, and it just shows that the horror industry does have a heart, and we're proud to be a part of it.
Cool, very cool. So I guess I'll catch you guys somewhere down the road this summer, I would think.
Yeah, definitely this summer. And
you going out to the Motor City Nightmares?
I'm not going to be there. I don't know what the fuck. I think Mike fucking dropped the call again. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm going out there, not as a guest. I'm just going to be like hanging out by the Wasteland table. So
cool, man.
Well, Sid's going to be up there too, and I got to talk to him and hang out. And a couple guys I haven't seen in a while, so should be interesting. So.
All right, buddy. Well, Pete, man, always fucking awesome to talk to you. I could sit here and bullshit with you for days.
I know. It's horrible. So
if I wish I'd never had anything to do, because I would just sit here and bullshit with you about old school movies.
I think Mike's calling back. I see the thing ringing, is it?
They're beeping me in, trying to get me on the other call, the other radio show I got to do right now.
All right, cool. We'll have you guys on again, definitely.
Definitely, man. Definitely keep in touch, man. Okay. As always, thank you so much, guys.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so I see it ringy dinging though.
Yeah, I don't want it to, but I can't stop it. It's doing its own thing.
Okay, just
hello? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Drew just left. Okay.
All right, yeah, sorry. I got kicked off. I just wanted to say thanks, guys, and you know, we'll catch you on down the road.
Sounds
okay,
good.
Okay, definitely. Yep.
Take all care. Right, guys. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Okay. Gee, how much time we got left?
About not very much, really. It looks like looks like we're pretty good. We're going to need about 12 more minutes.
Gee. What can I chat about for 12 minutes?
You got a big deal coming this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, but it'll be happening now.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, if I could say what's happening now.
It's happening right now.
What's going on right now. Yeah, right now I would be at Wasteland. I will be at Wasteland. People bounce around to these things and they know which ones are good and which ones are bad. You know, that's why... also, it depends on what you have, too, sometimes. But I've been the one where, like, you know, it was horrible. It was like fucking nobody there. It was like that scene from The Wrestler where they're doing the convention, like one wrestler's asleep.
Yeah, that's always like, fun.
Yeah, there's been a few like that.
I like Andrew Baranski, but at the last convention, he was pretty wiped out. He was partying before it was time to party.
Oh, yeah, he's like that.
He was going from the minute he got there until he left. He was a party machine. He was pretty fun, though. I liked him. A lot of people don't know how to take him, so...
Yeah, well, he's big and burly and starts bouncing around and shit. But you know what it is? You got to know your fucking limitations. Like, I can spend the whole Saturday with a cheerful buzz on. You know, not go beyond that till it's, all right, we've done Ghastly Night at the Movies. It's time to fucking turn up the volume. That's all.
But, yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, my days in doing that stuff are number two. You know, you only do it for so long. And I cut back a lot from what I used to do. So...
Well, I think you have to at some point in your life.
Yeah. Don't forget, I'll be 60 in September, so.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Blows. Yep.
It's all a figment of the mind, though.
And each step brings you closer to that big hole in the ground.
Well, that's probably true.
I'm under no illusions.
That's funny. Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? Oh, the whole thing is, did you see my thing on Facebook about if the Republican Party were TV shows?
I did not see that.
Romney would be that 70s guy with the plastic hair and wanting to start the Cold War again. And Ron Paul would be the 60s guy when you'd smell the incense burning in the background and having a guy to beat a plane over and over again. And let's see. Newt Gingrich would be the 80s guys, you know, getting a Hummer in his fucking car while his wife's dying of cancer. And Rick Santorum would be the 50s guys. 50s guy, you know, whose ass is so fucking tight it's waterproof and who thinks Leave It to Beaver is a porno film.
That guy needs to get a job in a sideshow, dude.
This fucking guy, if that even can. There's no way any of these clowns can win the election. There's no way. You may as well not even have the election.
It's bad. Santorum won here in Missouri.
Well, it doesn't surprise me.
Me either. This damn nightmare zone of the hillbilly undead. This guy's out there talking about the evils of heavy metal rock music bands like the Wasp. And I'm going, dude, what era are you in?
Yeah, they're not together anymore.
They're still making music, but the point is, those guys are not a danger to anyone. The danger is this hip-hop crap that's being pushed on small children so they carry gats to school. That's the problem. And the ultimate danger isn't even the music, it's the parents that let them do it.
What's a gat?
You know, it's a type of gun, you know, a Gatling gun.
That's a fucking... That term goes back to the 20s. I got a gat.
I know, because that's what they did. They went and stole everything from the Italians. Even the name gangster.
They used to call it a Roscoe.
Yeah.
I got a Roscoe in my pocket.
I got a Roscoe here. I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah. I'm packing. Don't worry, I'm packing.
Packing heat. Y'all better watch yourself. Yeah.
Motherfucker. Yeah. It's a wonderful world.
It's a terrible situation.
It's a shame you people want to do drive-bys. Why don't you just be like real fucking gunfighters and sit there and draw?
That's right.
Let's go back to that. Entertainment. Draw.
Have some balls.
That would be it. See, there's a fucking concept. If, you know, you people in general, people that want to be violent and shit and kill each other, why not have it televised as entertainment? Why not have, like, the old, you know, gunfights in the West, you know, the fast draw? None of these, you know, blah, 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 automatic fucking pistols and shit or Glocks or something. Simple fucking six shooter. You know, not a... Draw, fast draw, boom.
Ba-boom.
Yeah. Hey, it's better than fucking rollerball.
It's better than innocent kids getting shot. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Dirty, cheap.
I think it would be cowards. A fucking ratings. I think it would be a ratings fucking giant. That's what I think.
I think it would too.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Church's Chicken.
Yeah. No, we're not Church's Chicken. Wait a minute, no. Chick-fil-A.
That's it.
Chick-fil-A.
The hate mail's pouring in right now.
Is it?
No, but I bet it will.
Well, it's a Christian fucking chicken place.
That's right.
They're closed on Sunday. No, they are.
I did not know that. I've never.
Oh yeah, they are. They are. They're closed on Sunday.
Dude, they can keep that piece of poop.
Yeah, I mean. But, you know, don't forget, on Friday they have, you know, the buffet with the loaves and the fishes.
Jeez.
All you can eat fish and loaf buffet.
Terrible situation.
I know, I'm going to go to hell for that one.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We all got to go for something.
Our Lord and Savior's all you can eat buffet. Fountains of wine, red of course, and, you know, loaves and fishes, all you can eat.
There you go. I tell you what, man, in this day and age, things need to get less politically correct and more correct. Because everyone's so afraid of saying it like it is because they might offend someone or get called a racist. But it's not about skin color. It's about attitude and what you're doing to the world and drive-by shootings and shit that started in the inner city and have now branched out into all these places where that shouldn't have happened anywhere. Not the inner city, not anywhere. But, you know, you have to call bullshit when you see it and you have to say what it is. Don't be afraid so much of being... We got to stop catering to that mentality. You know, people like Queen Latifah producing albums where they're saying things like, fight, fight, a black and a white. If the white starts to win, then we'll all jump in. I mean, that's racism. I don't care how you look at it. But because she's a black producer, it's okay. That's where we draw the line in this country. We start saying no, and pretty soon...
Everybody wants to play these fucking games and shit. They're okay. They're all yelling about what went down in Florida, you know, with this kid, which, you know, there's so much... pointing here and pointing there, you know, don't know what's right and what's wrong. But now here's something, and you know, if you want to Google this, Google something called the Knoxville Horror. I don't know if you heard about that. Well, it's pretty fucking grim, but the bottom line is it was a carjacking down in Knoxville, Tennessee, I guess. Four blacks grabbed this white couple out on a date with their SUV, but they didn't stop at that. They took them back to their house. They prison gang raped the guy, tortured, cut his cock off, killed him, took him out to a railroad track, set him on fire. And then what they did to the girl was infinitely worse, to the point where they poured drain cleaner down her throat while she was still alive to erase the DNA. And they found her in five separate trash bags.
Ugh.
So anybody wants to Google that and how come that didn't make national news, and you tell me why.
It's okay? Crazy.
Yeah. This is called reverse racism. Because if it was four white people that did it to a black couple, that would be all over the fucking thing. So this bullshit's got to stop. And this is what pits people against each other. A fucking animal is an animal by any shape, form, or fucking color. And that's what the bottom line is. So anybody listening to me, you want to Google that and tell me it don't make you sick to your fucking stomach?
I'm not happy. Great note. Yeah.
We'll just say we'll say goodnight for now. We'll have a Cinema Wasteland wrap up, and God only knows what next week is. Next week's going to be Easter Sunday.
Yay. So
maybe we'll have a special Easter show.
Lord have mercy.
Well, we can suck on my eggs.
Pete, we're just about out of time, brother.
Oh, we're almost out of time. Well, this has been fun, you know, after my initial tirade of fucking hate and violence. And if it wasn't enough for you, I apologize, but I go reiterate. I said, I'm done with this shit, okay? Let's understand each other. I want nothing to do with it. Please, leave me the fuck alone. And I want to thank Ed, Superfan Rob, my producer Todd, and I guess until next week. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. We're hoping to have the WSU girls back, but until then, keep watching Facebook and we'll let you know. So stay sick.
the booth.